Okay, let's unpack this. Plastic pollution is everywhere, isn't it? It's a challenge we all see. And the global push to tackle it, especially within the European Union, well, it's truly massive.
Huge efforts, absolutely.
But sometimes, in the rush to solve a big problem, policies can get complicated, maybe even a bit
That
confusing.
happens, yeah.
So today, based on the material you've provided, we're diving into the fascinating landscape of plastics, specifically a category called oxo-biodegradable plastics and the regulations around them.
Right.
And there are some surprising developments uncovered in these sources that could, well, fundamentally change how we perceive these materials, maybe even the legislative process itself.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how the path to clarity, it's rarely straightforward in such critical areas, is it?
Not at all.
The EU, with its broad aims to combat plastic pollution, introduced directives like the Single-Use Plastics Directive, the SUP Directive 2019-905.
Yeah, the SUP directive.
The goal was, understandably, to reduce waste and, crucially, microplastic formation. But as we'll see, even with the best intentions, putting those directives into practice, well, it can get incredibly complicated and stir up a lot of arguments.
Which sets the stage perfectly for this very specific case of D2W biodegradable plastics.
Exactly.
Right. So the EU Parliament's initial move, that directive 2019-904, it imposed a ban on what they called oxo-degradable plastics. Now, on the surface, that sounded like a decisive move against pollution, straightforward, but this is where it gets tricky because the sources you've got revealed there were significant procedural issues right from the start, especially concerning a specific technology, D2W.
Yes, and this raises a really important question about the very foundation of that initial ban, doesn't it?
It does.
While the EU aimed to ban a category of plastics known as oxo-degradables, the general concern was them potentially breaking down into microplastics. Your sources show that companies like Symphony Environmental, with their D2W technology, they argued their specific formulation was different.
How so?
Well, they claimed it was designed to fully biodegrade, not just fragment. And this very distinction became the flashpoint for the whole controversy.
Okay.
Your sources highlight several specific concerns about how the directive was created. For one, it seems it circumvented the EU's core chemicals regulation, REACH.
Reach. I mean, the big one, Regulation 2006-1907.
That's the one, specifically the articles 68 to 72, that mandate a thorough scientific assessment before banning a substance.
So they sort of skipped a step, a big step.
It appears so. They essentially bypassed the standard, rigorous process for evaluating chemical safety. There was also apparently no proposal from the European Commission itself.
No proposal.
No, and no impact assessment or socioeconomic analysis conducted either. And maybe most importantly, no dossier from the European Chemicals Agency, ECHA, to actually justify such a ban.
Wow. So no ECA dossier backing it up?
Not only that, but ECHA's as late as October 30, 2018, had actually stated they were not convinced that microplastics were formed by these plastics.
Not convinced.
And their study on the matter was actually terminated prematurely.
Stopped early. Why?
The sources don't spell out the exact why it was stopped, but the fact remains it was stopped before reaching a conclusion. So you have a situation where the EU passed a major ban, seemingly without completing its scientific homework first.
That sounds, well, almost unbelievable for the EU, known for its meticulous regulations.
It does raise questions, certainly.
That's astonishing. So the EU's ban had these significant procedural gaps, basically leaving major scientific questions unanswered.
Seems that way.
Okay, so what happened next? This wasn't just a business dispute then. It became a crucial test of regulatory fairness, didn't it?
Exactly. Symphony Environmental, the company behind this D2W biodegradable plastic technology, they weren't about to just let this stand.
I can imagine not.
And here's where the story truly takes an intriguing turn, as you said.
Yeah.
They decided to challenge the directive in the European Court in Luxembourg.
The big court. And they were seeking compensation, right, because of the significant impact this ban obviously had on their business.
Correct. He sought damages. And the court's ruling here is quite telling and quite nuanced.
How so? Did they win?
Well, no, the court refused to award compensation. It held that the legislators hadn't exceeded the limits of their discretion.
So the EU was within its rights, legally speaking.
In terms of legislative discretion, yes. But, and this is critical, the court did not say that the EU had made a correct assessment of the technology.
Okay, that is a crucial distinction. So while Symphony didn't get the money, the court didn't actually endorse the EU's scientific basis for the ban.
Precisely. It essentially left the door open on the science. It suggested the scientific questions were never truly settled by the process followed.
Right. And Symphony's view, as highlighted in your sources, remained that the legislators just failed to follow the proper procedures.
Yes. That included, you know, the lack of an environmental impact assessment, no socioeconomic analysis, and, as we mentioned, prematurely terminating ECA's scientific study.
Even though ECA had previously said they weren't convinced microplastics were being formed?
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, I mean, this really showcases that inherent tension between, let's say, regulatory intent wanting to do good and the critical need for procedural rigor and solid scientific backing.
It's like building a house without checking the foundations properly first.
Something like that, yeah. Eventually, it's going to face challenges.
Given that unresolved legal and scientific stance, the situation for D2W must have remained in a kind of limbo.
It did. Uncertain.
Until now. Let's fast forward to June 20, 2025, because that's when we see this pivotal new development you found.
Yes, a very significant one.
Official approval for Symphony's D2W biodegradable plastic technology, but this time from the Environmental Protection Agency in the Republic of Ireland.
An EU member state, importantly.
An EU member state. This could fundamentally change everything for D2W, couldn't it? And maybe for the broader plastics industry, too.
Potentially, yes. Mm. The Irish EPA's findings. What aspects of them do you find most compelling or surprising, especially when you contrast them with the EU's initial broad ban?
Well, the sheer clarity, I suppose. It seems so definitive compared to the earlier confusion.
It is remarkably clear. Their statement says, following a thorough review of the submitted documentation and relevant scientific studies. So they did their homework.
Right, thorough review.
They confirmed that D2W products do not fall within the scope of Directive EU 2019-904, full stop.
So just not covered by that original ban?
Correct. And crucially, they found that D2W technology has been scientifically demonstrated to undergo full biodegradation without leaving behind persistent microplastics or toxic residues.
That's the core of it. Surely no persistent microplastics.
Absolutely. That was the big fear with the original oxo-degradable label. The EPA says this conclusion is supported by independent studies and aligns with the objectives of the directive to reduce plastic pollution and promote sustainable alternatives.
So it actually helps achieve the directive's goals, according to Ireland's EPA?
That's what they state. They also reviewed the commission notice from 2021 that was a guidance document and found D2W products not subject to the restrictions mentioned there either.
Okay.
Therefore, their conclusion, no objection to the distribution of D2W products in Ireland, and the investigation is officially closed.
Wow. Case closed, at least in Ireland. It certainly is a dramatic shift. But why do you think it took an individual member state's EPA to reach this conclusion rather than, say, a centralized EU body revisiting the science earlier, given the court case?
That's a good question. Sometimes national bodies can perhaps move more nimbly, or maybe they had a specific prompt or dossier submitted to them directly. It's hard to say for sure from the outside, but the outcome is clear.
And predictably, Symphony CEO Michael Laurier, well, he must have had quite a reaction to this significant Irish approval.
Indeed, he certainly did. Laurier commented that this decision is, quote, consistent with the legal advice we have received from Josh Holmes KC and Peter Sussman KC, whom he describes as well-respected lawyers.
Yeah.
So their legal advice pointed this way. He stated, he is very pleased to have now received official approval from the government of a member state of the European Union for the sale and use of products made with their D2W biodegradable technology.
Understandable.
And he sees no reason why it should not now be sold and used in every member state of the EU. That's quite a bold statement.
It is. He's basically saying if it's good enough for Ireland, it's good enough for everyone in the EU.
That's the implication. He expressed confidence that it is better for Europe's environment for plastic to be made so that it quickly biodegrades, leaving no toxic residues, instead of lying or floating around for decades and creating microplastics.
Making the environmental case directly.
Yes. And this certainly does imply a potential domino effect, doesn't it? Other EU member states might now look at Ireland's decision and reassess their own stance.
You'd think they'd have to, given it's based on scientific review within the EU framework.
Hmm.
So, to sum this up a bit, we've explored this really complex journey of D2W biodegradable plastics. It started with an initial EU ban, one that seemed fraught with procedural issues.
Uh-huh. Question marks over the process.
And now we have this very recent, clear scientific validation from an EU member state, Ireland. This whole saga really underscores how absolutely crucial scientific evidence and maybe procedural correctness is in shaping policy, even if there are initial missteps.
Absolutely. And the core insight here, I think, is that the Irish decision highlights that critical distinction. It separates broadly defined oxo-degradable plastics, that general category the EU banned from specific engineered technologies like D2W.
Right. Not all are the same.
Exactly. Technologies that are proven through scientific assessment to fully biodegrade without those harmful residues, which ironically aligns perfectly with the very goals of plastic pollution reduction that the EU aims for in the first place.
So it's about moving from these broad stroke bans to more precise, scientifically backed solutions.
That seems to be the lesson here. Nuance matters. Technology specifics matter.
This Irish validation certainly shakes things up then. Looking ahead, what do you think this singular scientific confirmation for D2W could mean for broader EU policy on plastics? Could it encourage a more, let's say, nuanced technology-specific approach instead of these blanket bans?
It could, or at least it should spark that conversation at the EU level.
And maybe wider implications, too. What does this signal for other sustainable innovations, perhaps in different fields, hoping to enter the European market? Does it give them hope that science can eventually win out, even if the regulatory path is initially bumpy?